We often know something best by way of contrast. By way of contrast. So light, darkness, loud, quiet, good, evil. And Good Friday shows us the depths and heights of the Father's love for us by way of contrast with the way we often relate to one another. At the end of 2018, Huffington Post ran an incredibly popular article that I think rightly encapsulates how we often relate to one another. The article was entitled, Six Toxic People You Should Kick to the Curb in 2019. It perfectly encapsulates how we relate to one another. Now, if you're wondering who the six are, first, the ghoster. That's a person who doesn't respond to your text messages very quickly and is sort of like chronically flaky. Second is the adult dependent. You know, that's your friend who is always in need, but then when you're in need, they just somehow aren't there for you. The third is the narcissist. You know, this is the friend who can never get outside of themselves. Parents, this is that friend that whenever you tell them a story about your kid, they have to follow up with a story about their own. The fourth is the eternal critic. This is a quote from the article. Your friends should be rejuvenating and judgment-free. Yawn. Number five, the attention seeker. This is the person who lives as though every day is their birthday. And then number six needs no explanation, the instigator. Now, the truly terrifying thing about this list of the six types of people that you should sort of kick to the curb in 2019 is that each and every one of us, lesser, greater, is described at some point in this list. You see, not one of us wants to be numbered with, wants to associate with toxic people, and yet we all carry toxicity within us. That's why the Babylon Bee's sort of satirical response to this article was so perfect. God decides to cut all toxic people out of his life, 7.5 billion dead. And I tell you, I laughed so hard when I saw this until I realized what an accurate display of the way we relate to one another this article is. We don't want to be numbered with anyone. We don't want to identify with anyone that's going to bring us down. It's going to make us look bad. We don't want to associate with anyone who transgresses our sort of social norms and laws. And Good Friday reveals that God's love is just the opposite. Good Friday shows us the great love of God the Father. And it shows us the great love of God the Father in this. And it's our big idea from Luke 22, 37. Jesus was numbered with transgressors. Jesus was numbered with transgressors. Now, a transgressor is someone who fails to do or be what God requires in his law. It's all of us. See, just the opposite of the way that we relate to one another, God shows his love in that he draws near, he even sends his son to be numbered among the toxic people of the world. That is you and me. Good Friday shows us the great love of the Father. He numbers his son among transgressors. And so tonight, we have just one goal. There's one thing I've been praying all week for this gathering, that we will leave this gathering more enthralled, entrenched in, overwhelmed by the incredible love of God the Father. That's all I want for us. That's what I've been praying for us all week. And so in order to plunge into the depths of God the Father's love for us, we're going to look at three ways that Jesus was numbered with transgressors. And the first is this. Jesus was numbered with transgressors in his birth. In his birth. In a sense, Good Friday began on Christmas morning. Luke 22:37, this passage we just read, as I said, is a direct quote from Isaiah 53, verse 12. And if you're not familiar, Isaiah 53 is a very famous passage in the Bible that pictures the coming Christ, the coming Messiah, as a suffering servant. And this is the very first place in Luke's gospel that Isaiah 53 is mentioned, and for good reason. Luke has gone to great pains, especially early in his gospel, to teach us about the identity of Jesus of Nazareth. That he's no mere man. Rather, he is the eternal Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah, the anointed one. He's the king greater than David. He's the healer teacher who is the Lord over all of creation, the great miracle worker. And so now that Luke has shown us just who Jesus of Nazareth really is, here in Luke 22:37, he's ready to take the next step and show us that Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord, is also none other than Isaiah's suffering servant who is numbered with transgressors, identifying with us in the first way that he was numbered with transgressors was through his birth. Look with me at Isaiah 53, verses 1 and 2. You'll see the words on the screen behind me. God's Son numbered among us toxic people, first in his birth. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. The Lord Jesus Christ was numbered with transgressors in his incarnation when he took on flesh. See, by taking on flesh, Jesus was associating himself, having himself lumped in with weak and frail sinners. The first way that Jesus is numbered with transgressors is that he's born in the very likeness of transgressors. You know, I think it's very difficult for us to wrap our minds around just how humiliating the incarnation really was, just how humiliating it was for the Lord Jesus to identify with us toxic people by taking on our form. Maybe think of it this way. Can you imagine being the one who upholds the universe by the word of your power and then not being able to uphold like your own arm because you're a baby born in the likeness of sinful people? I mean, can you imagine being the one through whom everything was made and then having to have every one of your meals made for you because you've taken on flesh, born as an infant? I mean, it would be sort of like one of you taking the form of a slug and then still having the sort of intellectual and moral capacities of a person, yet everyone lumps you in with a slug. It's utterly humiliating. And that's nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus experienced in order to be numbered with us transgressors. He was lumped in with us, first in his birth. But the second way that Jesus was numbered with transgressors was in his life. In his life. In Isaiah 53:3, we read of the life experience of the Lord Jesus Christ, predicted hundreds of years before his birth. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know, one of the reasons why Jesus was acquainted with grief is because he was tempted in every way you and I have been tempted, yet without sin. You know, that's why Jesus can have such compassion on us. It's why he's our ever-present help in time of trouble. He knows the grief of being tempted by every sin you're tempted with. You know, we often think, no, the sins I'm tempted with, there's no way like those really came after Jesus. The Bible says he was tempted in every way we've been, yet without sin. No wonder he was a man of such grief. He never sinned. That means he knows more about temptation than you do because he endured it longer. He's acquainted with much grief. But Isaiah 53:3 also says that he was despised and rejected by men. See, Jesus was numbered with transgressors in his life in that he experienced the rejection that we experience. And the reason that Jesus experienced such rejection at the hands of his own religious leaders is because he, throughout his life, numbered himself with transgressors. That's why the religious leaders of his day said this about him. This is Jesus quoting them. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was acquainted with grief because he knows all of your temptations. And Jesus was despised and rejected because he still associated himself with people like you and me. Now, nowadays, I mean, we love the idea that Jesus was a friend of sinners, right? I mean, everyone agrees on this. Even if you're not a follower of Jesus, you're like, yes, he hung out with tax collectors and sinners. I love that. He didn't like religious people. I don't like them either. You know, man, love that about Jesus. And we like the idea of being numbered with sort of the down and out and the wild people because it sort of signals our virtue, makes us feel cool. That's not what was going on with Jesus. Imagine you being numbered with child molesters and pornographers. That's what it was like for Jesus to be associated with the sexually immoral of his day. It didn't raise his social standing. Imagine living in Philadelphia and being numbered among white supremacists and neo-Nazis. That's what it was like for Jesus to be associated with the insurrectionists and the zealots of his day. Imagine being lumped in and numbered among Ponzi schemers, you know, who steal the life savings from little old widows. That's what it was like for Jesus to be numbered with tax collectors. It wasn't cool. It didn't raise his social standing. It's part of what got him killed. See, Jesus, rather than kicking us toxic people to the eternal curb, was numbered among us in his birth and in his life. But that doesn't touch the height of it. Because third and finally, Jesus was numbered with transgressors in his death. He was numbered with transgressors in his death. On Good Friday, the Lord Jesus Christ, who never committed a single sin nor act of transgression, was numbered among transgressors by becoming a guilt offering, a sin-bearing sacrifice to remove our transgressions and to make us righteous before God. Again, Isaiah 53, verses 10 to 12, show us how Jesus would be numbered with us transgressors in his death. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. God the Father must truly love you. I mean, God the Father must truly love you. Jesus was numbered with you in his birth. He took on the frailty of human flesh. He stepped down out of eternal glory and became a man, a baby for you. God the Father must truly love you. And not only did he take on your form, he knows your temptations, your shame, and your rejections. God the Father must truly love you. And then most stunning, Jesus was numbered with you in his death. The sinless one, the one who in every way was tempted, yet without sin, was killed as though he were a transgressor, at the hands of transgressors, in between two other transgressors. And from the looks of things, he was just dying like a normal transgressor. In Jesus' day, death by crucifixion was the normal end to the life of a troublemaking transgressor. It's what the Romans did. You see, it was just as though Jesus was a normal transgressor when the Romans mocked him and spit on him, when they beat him mercilessly, when they whipped the skin off of his back and drove a crown of thorns into his skull, when they forced him to carry his own instrument of execution, when they fastened his body to the wood with what you would think of as railroad spikes, and when they left him to die, drowning in his own blood, everyone just thought, transgressor, dying between transgressors, nothing to see. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 shows us the Father's perspective. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Your sins and mine, the acceptable ones and the unacceptable ones, all of our transgressions, each one and just one deserves infinite and eternal punishment, because our sins are against the infinitely beautiful and holy God. You and I deserve nothing but eternal hell because of our sins. The wages of sin is death. We have an infinite debt to pay, and on the cross on Good Friday, Jesus paid it all. He was numbered with transgressors. He became our transgression on the cross. He became what we are so that we can become what he is. God's very children, by grace alone. He was numbered with transgressors. God the Father must really, truly love you. Now, why do I keep saying that? Why do I keep saying God the Father must truly love you? Aren't we talking about Jesus here? Look with me again at Luke 22:37. The words will be on the screen. Look at how the verse begins. For I tell you that this scripture, now look at this next word, this is very interesting. Must. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled. What is this must? Who puts a must on the Son of God? This is incredibly significant. This means that the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth was not the result of bad luck, chance, or the Romans being furious at him. The crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth was not a result of The religious leaders being jealous of him. Jesus of Nazareth was crucified because the Father's will must be done. Because the Father, before the creation of the world, purposed to set his love on transgressors like you and me. And Jesus died not because we're lovely, but to make us lovely. Jesus died because that is the full display of the Father's love for transgressors. He crushed his son for you. The Father most truly loves you. Have you received that love? Have you given up on trying to impress God and get him to love you with your loveliness? He's far too holy for that. Instead, will you lay that down and receive with the empty hands of faith God's infinite love for you in Jesus Christ? Will you give God your sin and receive his grace that is yours through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? The Father did not number Jesus among transgressors so that you could go get on a life improvement plan. He numbered Jesus among transgressors so that a transgressor like you and me can go from death to new life. Christian, do you believe you're loved this much? His love on display at the cross of Christ is the cure for everything that ails us. Good Friday shows us the Father truly loves us. He doesn't kick us to the cosmic curve. He adopts us as his sons and daughters through the death of his true son, Jesus Christ. You are loved. So let's worship him. Amen.